Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Ride Owl Politics. My name is Ariana Mendez, your host, coming to you from Miami, Florida. For those of you who are new to the show, I'm an attorney and a conservative political analyst. I've been involved in local campaigns for many years, and I'm here to talk politics. So there's a lot to talk about today, but I took a pause. I had another idea for this show about the political situation in the country and the situation here in Florida. It is what it is. Numbers in Miami-Dade County are high. The local government officials have taken precautions to try to change that upward trend in COVID-19 cases. We are seeing some positive signs, I will say that. Numbers are gradually going down. We're not on the uptick, we're on the downtick. So I'm happy to report that. But I keep hearing from people in my life and people on social media, people are just tired of this pandemic and are worried about future plans, birthdays, anniversaries. What is the rest of the year going to look like, especially here in Florida, in Miami-Dade County, where cases are high? And basically, Miami-Dade is the epicenter of the pandemic. So instead of deep diving into a political topic, I want to emphasize this. The people in your life that are really important, your family, your close friends, those are the people that you need to hold close to now. And if you can socialize with them in person because of the situation we're living in, make sure you are in touch with them and you are keeping a pulse on how they're doing and if they need anything. Because like all things in life, this pandemic will also pass. And I know a lot of people are scared, they feel uncertain, and it's understandable. But we're all in this together, and that's not just some, you know, sappy statement. We're all going through it. It's affecting everybody differently. Some are affected more depending on what industry they work with, depending on what age group, depending if they have a pre-existing condition that makes them more vulnerable. So it's different for everybody, but we're all going through it as a country and as basically as humans, because this is a worldwide phenomenon. So instead of inviting a political person on the show today to discuss one of the headlines of the week, I wanted to, you know, bring somebody that's a little bit more personal and somebody who I'm holding on to in this very difficult period, somebody I'm keeping in contact with, somebody that I want to make sure is still in my life even through this craziness. And that's, you know, my sister Isabel. And, you know, sisters are friends that God gives us. We don't choose those, but honestly, your sister is your best friend, and the better relationship you have with them, the easier it is as the years go by, because this person is a confidant. This person is somebody that you can rely on. And that's what we need right now as a country. We need to rely on our sisters, on our brothers, on our close cousins, on our close friends, because at the end of the day, we're all in this together, and losing sight of that makes the situation a lot more difficult for everybody. So my sister, her name is Isabel Mendez. She was my first role model. She's 14 years older than me, so definitely also a mother figure. And she's been with me since I can remember, giving me advice, reprimanding me when it was appropriate, and calling me on my BS, which is always necessary as we get older. She is a professional, a leader in every sense of the word, a person that has gone through challenges and has come out on the other side, just the embodiment of female empowerment. And I've always admired her. She was one of my first role models. And without further ado, let's jump right in. Hey, Isabel, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Good. So this is your first time on Ride Owl Politics. Are you nervous?
I know. I finally get to speak to you and your audience. I'm so excited.
So you're my big sister.
That's what they say, yes.
So what's the age difference, 14 years?
Only 14.
So that makes you kind of a mother figure, right?
I think that's how I consider myself, and I think you would agree that's how I act sometimes.
So be honest, you when I was little.
Oh my God, I think you know the answer to that question, but it was a good, you annoy me in a good way, if that's okay. Possible.
Okay. Positive annoyance.
Very positive. There you go.
So I'm excited to have you. You know, here in Florida, we have had quite a spike in COVID cases. And here on the show, we like to, you know, bring interesting conversations. And I wanted to make this week about family and focusing about what really matters, because there's so much noise out there. This would be a good opportunity to kind of spread a message of unity into the world, that even if COVID is an issue, even if the economy is suffering, we have our family, we have our friends, and that should be the focus, not the negative.
Completely agree with that. I think there's a lot of negative in the world, and sometimes we don't focus in the positive that happen every day and in the little things. And sometimes those are the most important.
So sisters, do you think that sisters always get along?
I don't think sisters always get along, but I think that's part of the joy of having a sister, that I think you argue and, you know, the next minute you make up and all is forgotten. So at least for the ones that have a strong bond, I think that that's what happens to us.
So do you think it's important to call out your sister when she's out of line?
I would agree with that. I think that in our personal cases, I think it's happened. And not just me calling you out, but you calling me out as well. And, you know, I think we all make mistakes. And it's important to have that person that you trust to be able to tell you when, hey, look at this or look at it from another perspective. And you know, kind of open your eyes as well and be able to act on that.
You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of talk nowadays about, you know, polarized politics and differences of opinion, and how you have people in a family disagreeing over, you know, politics, world events. Is it okay to disagree in a family setting while still keeping the love flowing? Or are we getting to a point now where we should just avoid politics in family settings because we can't just discuss it like civilized people anymore?
Well, I think we've lost. I think in general, I think that it's been lost a little bit, the ability to discuss it in a civilized way and then move on. I think in our family in particular, I think we're pretty much all on the same page. So I don't think there's a lot of difference of opinions. But whenever you get politics in the mix, I think that emotions are high. I think opinions are strong. And, you know, a little discussion, a little passion goes a long way. But at the end, you have to remember that you're all family. You have to remember that we may think differently or have different opinions, and it's okay to have them. It's okay to discuss them. It's okay to express them. But at the same time, we also have to respect each other and whatever that opinion is. So I think that's a little bit what is lost right now in our current climate, where we've lost the ability to listen to each other and disagree with each other. It's okay to disagree, but we have to listen and not just speak over each other.
That's an interesting point, because I think too often we either gravitate towards the people that agree with us 100%, or we ignore the people that we have disagreements with. And family kind of forces you to have that dialogue. Right. And I think we need more dialogue and less shouting, because if we're just arguing all the time, we're never going to solve any of the big issues that we face as a country.
I so agree with that. And I think many times there's so much in common that we have, but we're so busy yelling at each other that we don't take the time to actually listen, that what we're saying, there's a lot of common denominators in our discussions. But we're too busy, like I said, yelling and screaming at each other to be able to listen to each other. So I think we have to also agree that we can disagree, but have an open mind to at least listen to the other point of view and be able to have the discussion. And I think that's somewhere that's been lost in the climate today.
Well, I think it's important to be solutions oriented. And let's take our situation here in South Florida. We're the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic here in Florida. and our public officials, citizens, just the general public are in disagreement of how to proceed, what's the best course of action. There's so much debate and acrimony because we've never faced something like this before. But instead of uniting against, you know, the pandemic, we're yelling at each other and being hostile towards each other. And I think that's a recipe for disaster.
I agree. I think there's also a lot of fear, and a lot of that fear is caused, I think, a lot of it by the media, and it's encouraged by the media. So a lot of it, I think, it also has to be, people have to take responsibility for what they're saying, and people also have to take a step back and help people calm themselves and help people by giving them, I think, the power of knowledge, but not being dramatic in the reports in the media that they're publishing as well.
So how difficult do you think it's staying in touch with people during these crazy times? Because either people want to avoid you because they're scared of, you know, you may have COVID, or people just want to avoid you in general because they probably didn't like you too much to begin with. So now they have a perfect excuse, right? Yeah. So how do you think it's important to still do the virtual happy hours here in South Florida? We're shut down as far as indoor dining.
Right.
Should we, the socialization aspect, or should we just, you know, put that on hold for a bit and wait for better times?
Well, I think people have been very smart in staying connected. And I've enjoyed, obviously virtual calls and, you know, happy hours. I know that we've done a few in our family during the quarantine, and that was very, very fun. And for work, like, you know, I was telling some of my colleagues that I've seen them more during the lockdown than I've had in my 12 years of working and my job. So it's different. I think we're all just getting used to it. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it can have a lot of pluses. And I think that the connection and staying in contact, I think that's so important and necessary.
Yeah, people are social. We're social creatures.
We are. And we're thinking of new ways of staying in contact. And whether it's by the phone or, Zoom calls or FaceTime, whatever it is, I think it's important so that people know that you're there and you may not be able to physically go see them, but you're still present in their lives.
And I think that's important because this looks like this is going to be a long-term proposition, the masks, the new normal, until we have a vaccine.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be for the long run. And that's why I think we all have to be calm and know what precautions we need to take and take them and be informed, but not with fear, not have fear of what's going on, because, you know, fear leads down a very ugly road.
Yeah, like the saying goes, fear is a liar.
Exactly.
So let's do change it up a little bit. Some more lively topics, if you will. Yes. So let's get into some interesting sister tag questions. All right. So get ready.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right. So you work in the fashion industry.
Yes.
So I'll ask you this. What's your favorite makeup, beauty product or brand?
Oh, my God. That's so hard for me.
You're such a fashionista. Like, for our audience to understand, she's the girliest of the girly girls.
Everybody knows I love pink and, you know, purple, which is the big girl's pink. I think just fashion for me has always, everybody that knows me knows that I've always loved it and it comes very natural. So when you tell me favorite, I can't just have one favorite. I have multiple favorites. So, you know, it depends what you're looking for. I think, you know, whether it's cosmetics or fashion. What I will say is in fashion, you have to find something that speaks to you, that you as a person feel comfortable with, because no matter how fashion it is, if you're not comfortable in it, it's not going to work for you. So that you can then have self-confidence and all of that that comes with it. I think that fashion, you have to look at it and see, you know, what fits in to you, because we're all different. So nothing can be the same for everybody. So you got to find your own individuality within fashion.
So here's the thing. I like to, you know, mix and match. I like to be matchy-matchy as well, especially for professional settings. Uh-huh. You know me.
Of course.
And this mask requirement is cramping my style. Okay? Like, I look so cute with whatever I'm wearing, and then I have to wear this disposable or ugly black mask. Like, no. I'm not subscribing to this.
No, there's so many fashion houses, like, for example, Coach, have their own fun mask. So you have to check them out. Because now the fashion world is all about masks. So you no longer have to have the black boring mask on. No. You got to go and look into fashion and get yourself some fun mask. I mean, even Victoria's Secret has masks. And something that speaks to you. So masks are the new trend in fashion.
Part of me cringes at the thought of a Victoria's Secret mask. What does that even look like?
But it's actually very pretty. It has like a VS on the side. It's nothing, no underwear, no bras, anything like that.
So can you imagine? Can you imagine? The memes would be never ending.
So it's very safe, but you know, that's what I mean. Mask is the new trend in fashion. So every fashion house is going to have them. And whether you want something expensive or something a little bit more reasonable, there is something for every budget out there.
I hope so, and I hope that we get to a point where we have a lot of selection so that I can match my outfits to my mask.
Yes, there is. Go to your favorite place to shop and go investigate, and you're gonna.
So heels or flats?
Oh, heels. I love heels.
How high?
Oh gosh, well, the younger I was, the higher the heel. The older I get, the lower the heel. So, you know, 3.5 inches, 4 inches, I think it's high enough, and it's still sexy, and it's still...
I'll be honest, though, since we were in that quarantine period for, like, what seemed like forever, when I put back my heels on to go out into the real world, there was something about that process that just didn't feel right. My feet were like, no, we don't want to do this. No, thank you.
Well, you know that the big trend in fashion right now are sneakers. So you're going to see that you're wearing a dress or, you know, shorts or pants. It's all worn with sneakers. So they've taken over the fashion world. Which is a good thing. But what's happened to me is now I'm getting used to wearing sneakers. So now I don't want to do heels. But I've always loved heels and will always love them.
So I like pointy heels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because I stopped wearing them, like I said, for a few months. Mm-hmm. Because of the world falling apart.
Yeah.
And now I'm back wearing them. And they're just cute. I admit it. They're cute, but they're not comfortable at all.
No. Well, sometimes to be cute, you can't be comfortable.
But here's the thing, and I've thought about this. Like, realistically, those shoes are designed for you to wear them for a few hours. It's not a whole day commitment. Because if you were actually running around and being active in those shoes,
mm-hmm.
your feet would start to bleed. And I don't care what brand it is. It's a general comment.
Well, but you know what? Even in pointy shoes, there are comfortable shoes. You just got to find the right fit. Because they're pointy doesn't mean they're uncomfortable. So if that's what you're seeing that it's happening to you, it's just because you haven't found the right one for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's been giving me fashion advice since I can remember, and it continues. It hasn't changed.
You know, and it will never change.
So describe yourself in 3 words.
Oh, my God. You know, I think of myself personally and professional as being a very positive person. I always see the glass half full. I consider myself a fun person. I always have a smile on my face. And I consider myself a professional person. I always treat everybody with respect, and I spend a lot of my time in a professional atmosphere. So I think that being professional, letting everybody speak, have their opinions, listen, are all things that I value very, very much.
Yeah, I think that describes you accurately, though that was not three words.
Well, that was more like sentences.
Yes. Yeah, I think that describes you well. You've always been a stickler about respect and respecting others. And growing up, that was something that you ingrained in me, which I appreciate now as an adult.
And what about you? What are three words that describe you?
Oh goodness, I'm gonna sound like an evil Machiavellian person, but definitely ambitious, strategic, and I've always been very driven.
I would agree.
Is that accurate, or am I full of BS?
I would absolutely agree with them. I would add, probably the one that I would add would be methodical. I think okay. You are very methodical.
Okay, all right, y'all. I hope that's a compliment.
Of course. Somebody that's organized, like things step by step. It's deliberate. I think those are all wonderful qualities.
So is there one beverage that you have that you can't live without?
Well, I think that many years ago, I would have been like Diet Coke. Anybody that knew me knows that I was addicted to Diet Coke.
This is true.
And couldn't live without it.
Right.
Very boring, I know. You know, you would expect something else, but just all simple Diet Coke. That's it.
Yeah, but now I think it's more sparkling water, right?
Now I'm more into sparkly water. So
that's your grown-up version of Coke.
There you go, exactly. Boring as well, but a grown-up version.
I'm also guilty of the sparkling water. I would drink way too much of it. And I don't drink all the way to the bottom, so I just have a collection of bottles that have like 2 inches of water sitting at the bottom because I don't like bottoms of everything, of anything. Yeah, I know.
So annoying.
Somebody's making a joke out there about that. Okay, it's funny. Got it.
I was just going to add, it's so annoying.
Yes. So what do you think of this? I mean, you're a Republican, big surprise. You're my sister. If not, we couldn't talk. Kidding. What do you think of this situation with Trump deciding to cancel the festivities in Jacksonville for the GOP convention?
I think understandable. I think with everything that is going on, I think it would have been a little irresponsible of him to continue with it. But I think, you know, he'll come up with something to make it fun. And I think, you know, the conventions are going to look very different than ever before. And, you know, that's part of this year. You know, 2020 is a year to remember. And so this is just adding to that. But I think, you know, at the end, he'll make it fun. He'll make it different. He'll make it his own. I am sure of that.
Do you think conventions are done?
I think the way, the traditional way that they have always been, I think they're going to be done and over with. And I think there'll be some changes to conventions going forward.
Do you think that's a welcome change? Because the concept of a political convention where you have large groups of people congregating and going to one location, it's a very passe kind of concept, because now with technology, we can be in different places and still together.
Yeah, the only thing that I see with conventions like that in that more traditional way is just that it creates energy for the candidate, for the party. And sometimes I think virtual cannot yet do that at that degree. And I mean, thinking just of Trump, I think he feeds from people and he feeds from the energy. So I think it might be a combo of both. But I think that they will dramatically look a little different going forward.
Is that a welcome change or just out of necessity?
Well, I think it's a welcome change. I think anytime we think of evolving and changing, I think it's good if it's well done. And that's what I say. I can't see the aspect of the people completely going away, because I think that's part of the energy. That's part of the feel. When you think of a convention, that has to be in the equation.
And that's so true. And I mean, you know, I was a little history and politics buff since I was little.
Yes.
And I can think back of the 2004 presidential campaign and George W. Bush's convention when he was running for president, and the excitement surrounding that event, McCain's, obviously Obama with the arches and the green columns and all of that,
right?
And Sarah Palin's very memorable moment, you know, lipstick on a pig speech, and even Trump, of course, in the moment that Ted Cruz came out and gave that very, you know, powerful speech in support of Trump, and those are moments that can only be created in that convention environment,
right?
When you have all these hundreds of people there before you and they're members of the party and you're coming on that stage and making a political statement, there is a vibe in that room that cannot be duplicated in any other way.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I think, you know, the convention has to evolve. And I think the world of social media has to also play a big role. And I think it's something that I don't think we've really ventured into and fully developed and fully thought of merging the two. So I think that's going to become more and more normal as we go on with conventions.
Do you think we would be looking potentially at a virtual inauguration?
I think that would be very interesting. But in the COVID year, you never know or what could happen. So it wouldn't surprise me. I think that, you know, this is all new for everybody. But, you know, we shall see.
What about, you know, holidays that are coming up that are kind of important? I like Halloween, you know.
I know that. Yes.
It's my favorite holiday. Well, technically second, Thanksgiving.
Second. Well, yes. Yeah. Second.
And then Christmas. So it's Thanksgiving, Halloween, and then Christmas.
Yes.
How do you think that's going to look like this year, those holidays?
I think it might be interesting what that looks like. I think that, you know, from a retail aspect, which that's my thing. It's going to look different. I think that virtual social media is also playing a very big role on that. And, you know, places now are offering curbside pickup and virtual appointments where a customer can come in and have an appointment through Zoom or through FaceTime, and they can spend on one-on-one with their sales associate, but they're at home and the sales associate can walk them through different aspects of the stores. So I think things like that are becoming more and more common. So I can see that playing a big role as we go into the holidays, because I don't know how, you know, how comfortable people are going to be being able to go and be present when there are going to be a lot more people in the stores and all of that. And, you know, I was actually reading that I believe it's Walmart that will be closed for Thanksgiving Day for the first time, I think, in 30 years or something. So that's huge for Walmart to be closed Thanksgiving Day. Very, very big news.
So I think maybe some of that is Walmart acknowledging that we are living in unprecedented times, and also the people component to the business, right?
Right.
So, and I think this episode that we're doing today speaks directly to that, about going back to basics and realizing what's more important, you know? And right. Walmart employees have been on the front lines of this. They have been stocking those shelves, maintaining supply chains. And it's good to see Walmart taking care of their people.
Very important. I think that's a very important message for the people and for other retailers, because they are the biggest retailer in this country. So a lot of other retailers follow their lead. So by them doing that move, they're really creating, I think, an atmosphere where we might see a lot more retailers join them being closed on Thanksgiving, and which I think it might be a very, very positive thing, because Thanksgiving is a day to spend it with family, and it's a day to spend it around a table. And that might look different this year again, because, you know, I don't know if families will be able to get together because of the COVID. But whether it's a virtual, you know, around the table or whatever people might want to be doing, I think it's a day to think of that and to think of the message of what it's Thanksgiving. Many times in our busy days, we forget what the meaning of Thanksgiving is.
I completely agree. And also, I think also that there's an opportunity here during Christmas time to emphasize with children, especially, what is the true meaning of the season, and not so much the material possessions and the glitz and glam of the holiday, right? So I think that this year has been a trying year for everybody. But, you know, family and good friends and the people that truly matter, maintaining those people in your group in close contact, whether virtually or in person, as much as safety allows, I think it's the only way we can move forward, because there's no vaccine in sight. So we're in this for the long haul.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, when things like this happen, I think they make you kind of realize what's important, and especially for families that have children, is what message are you giving to the kids out there? And, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that, I think it's maybe time for people to really relook at the message and make sure that the kids are also learning that as well.
But it's going to look different. Isabel.
Completely different. And nobody can tell you today what it's going to look like, because, you know, at this point, everybody is guessing, and, you know, you can be good at it and you can have a guess, and I can tell you, oh no, everything's going to be great, and we're going to be, you know, retail is going to be doing this and that. But at the end of the day, nobody knows, you know, because we've never lived through anything like this. So, you know, we take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and we shall see.
I'm still very worried, especially for our parents. They're older. Yeah. And the threat of this virus is something that concerns me. And I know that for a lot of our listeners who have older family members, that's a concern. So it's going to be interesting to see the balance between trying to socialize with your older family members, but at the same time, you want to keep them safe and you want to keep them away from large groups that could potentially expose them.
Yeah. And I go back to it. That's why I think, you know, for retailers, it's going to look so different, because for those type of customers, they may not want to go out to the mall. So there's going to be more online orders. There's going to be a lot other things that retailers are going to be doing in order to make sure that they're catering to that audience without those customers having to go to the mall or anything.
But
I'll
be honest with you. The fact that the Zoom or virtual in-store visit did not exist before is actually quite disappointing from a customer perspective, considering the year we're living in, 2020, and all the implications of that technology wise. Why hasn't this been a thing before? It took a pandemic for retail to catch up to the 21st century.
Absolutely, it did. And, you know, virtual appointments was something that we talked about in retail, but at least where I worked, it was not a priority. And, you know, it's, I think that we have discovered something that there's so much potential, and there's so many good things out of it, because you have the convenience of being able to be at home. You have the convenience of being able to still shop with that sales associate that you love, and you'd still get that great customer service, which is probably the reason why you wouldn't shop online and you would make it out to a store. So you're still getting that without having to come out to the store. And, you know, that's the essence of a virtual appointment. So I think it's just a win-win. And to your point, I think it's a shame that we had not thought about it before and really, really devoted to making sure virtual appointments became more of the norm and not the exception. So I think it's an untapped potential there.
You know, what's really another concept that distresses me, because as the audience knows, I'm obsessed with Disney. I love Disney. I used to go to Disney several times a year.
Tell me about it.
I don't know if I could really make myself go to Disney World under these conditions. Like, it's already hot as F in Orlando. And with a mask on, I'm sorry, but I don't think I can do that.
No, I think that's, there you go. I think that's a question for everybody. You know, it's very hot. You're wearing a mask. And I just heard that even in Disney Springs, which is like what used to be downtown Disney, now you have to wear a mask. So, you know, it's just
different.
It's different. There's nothing else to say other than it's just different.
But I've been thinking about this. Everything we used to do before COVID, some of those things, when I remember them, make me cringe because I'm like, wow, we have no hygiene. You know how recently there was a trend where plastic straws were like discouraged because of environmental reasons? Yes. And now you go to a restaurant, the ones, you know, like our nearby counties that are still open for dine-in, and they give you disposable utensils, and straws are not only recommended but required in some instances. So we definitely backtrack from that perspective.
I know, but you know how I feel about them. I am all about hygiene.
Yes. But you know what I'm saying, as far as there was a trend recently about doing away with that. Doing away with the plastic utensils with the straws, you know, for the sake of environmental protection. Yeah. But now it's all about hygiene.
Yeah. Now it's all about safety, and it's about COVID, and, you know, so it's going to make everybody just look at their normal lives, and it's going to continue to change. So I think this is probably just the beginning of more changes that we're going to see from that standpoint.
I completely agree. And I'm very lucky to have a sister like you, where at late at night we can discuss politics and retail and business, and you don't tell me I've completely lost my mind.
Well, you know, this is our normal conversation any evening. This is what we talk about. So we just now, you know, recorded it, and people have an opportunity to listen to it. But this is normal. This is our normal talk that we would talk any other evening about. So it's about life, and, you know, what's going on in the country and what's going on in your life and in my life. And, you know, we share points of view, and sometimes, a lot of times, we agree. But once in a while, we'll disagree in something, and we'll fight it out, and then we move on.
We hug it out.
That's right. Even if it's a virtual hug.
Yes. Yes. Well, Isabel, thank you so much for being on the show, and quite an interesting conversation. We went from beauty products to heels to GOP convention to retail predictions. Yes. So that was quite a topsy-turvy conversation, but it was fun.
No, thank you. And I just have to say this, because this is the first time I'm on your show, but we're so proud of you. So proud of your show. So proud of all your accomplishments. You truly make us proud every single day. You have become such a amazing young lady. And we look forward to many years of seeing you continue to grow. And this is an amazing podcast. And I wish you continued success on it.
Well, thank you. Now I'm going to get sentimental. I appreciate that.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Ariana. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much, Isabel, for being on the show again. It really meant a lot to me. And guys, reach out to your siblings, reach out to your cousins, reach out to your close friends, reach out to your parents. Hold them close during these times. We will get through this. Things will get better. We just need to be positive, take our precautions, be smart about how we are interacting out in the world. Make sure that you are following local guidelines, and we will get through it. The vaccine will come. It's only a matter of time. And until then, let's adapt and overcome. And let's embrace these new changes, the technological advances, the new offerings from the retail industry, the new opportunities for changing how we shop and the way we live. Let's embrace that. Let's celebrate that. The vacations, the parties, the social aspect of it, we all miss it, but we will have an opportunity to do that. But we won't have an opportunity to do that if we're all sick and laying in a hospital bed. So let's take that to mind. There will be better days ahead of us because, you know, we're Americans and we'll get through it. And this is just another chapter in the great American journey. So thank you for listening. Remember, we're not your dad's political news show, so spread the word. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys.